All right, Guillermo Mash here. I want to let everyone know that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or their volunteers. Also like to give a shout-out to our underwriters by saying, Without a Roof program is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Friends of the Arts and Grocery Outlet are hosting a wine tasting at Bidwell Park Golf Course and Grill on Thursday, September 25th. From 5 till 7 p.m., all proceeds support Oktoberfest and BCATB. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Community Memorial Museum of Sutter County, presenting a new art exhibit, Flooded, Nature and the Human Spirit. The show runs till November 14th with mixed media group exhibitions exploring the similarities between a flood and nature and cycles of the human condition. More information by calling 822-7141 or at tinyurl.com, artflood2015. It's my distinct pleasure. As I said, a great honor I really love dearly would say, holy Toledo, we got a lot on the program today, and it's really coming up against a time crunch. But I want to give a shout-out to someone I have in the studio, Eric Jacobs, and I'm going to turn the mic over to him momentarily. But he's going to be giving his insights on these three different pieces that are going to be airing. And so why don't you introduce yourself, Eric?
Hi, everyone. How are we doing today? Good. How are we doing, everyone? This is Eric. How's it going?
All right, what do we need to know about Eric?
Well, I'm 29, and let's see, I'm staying over at the tourist shelter right now. I'm getting my life together, but we'll go from there.
Awesome, Eric. Can't wait to hear what you say about this first piece. This first piece is actually with a young gentleman, Carrington Forbes, and it's just a beautiful piece. 22 years old, getting his life together as well, and I know you're going to enjoy this on the Without a Roof radio program. All right, it's my distinct pleasure, Guillermo Mash here, Without a Roof radio program for October 2015, and I'm really blessed to have a young man here by the name of Carrington, whom I've met here on the streets of Chico and actually at Youth for Justice a few times he's come in. And why don't you give us a little bit of background about yourself, Carrington, and how things are going for you?
Hi, I'm Carrington Forbes. I'm 22, and I started off on the streets. Like, when I turned 18 on my 18th birthday, I got kicked out, and I was still in high school. I still had most of my senior year left. I spent most of that year, most of my senior year living on the streets, going to Fairview High School. I graduated, tried looking for a job, and couldn't find one.
Maybe you could describe a little bit, Carrington, how it felt going to school homeless, literally living, when you say living on your streets, you were living under a bridge, you were couch surfing. Give us a little understanding of your living situation and how it impacted your schoolwork and your life.
At the time, I had a truck, or it was a F-150, so I didn't really ever have gas in that thing, so I kind of kept it parked in the parking lot at Fairview. The principal there was very understanding with my situation. They provided me like breakfasts and lunch and stuff, and teachers would spend time with me after school to like help me study and stuff, because I didn't have like internet access or anything. I lived in my truck for the entirety of the rest of my senior year. And really the biggest problem was nighttime. Once you get like out, there's a lot going on in town. Like, it gets really boring just sitting in a vehicle, so you don't just like sit there all day. You go out and you try to find friends, and really the only people that want to hang out with homeless people are either other homeless people or people with severe drug problems, or like, not everybody is judging on us, but the vast majority of people are just very quick to assume that we're lazy or there's something wrong with us and that's why we're homeless, and so they just try to push us away. So I got kind of fell into the wrong crowds for a little bit. Ended up having a really bad drinking problem for quite a while. I'd get blackout drunk constantly. I didn't drive when I was blackout drunk, but I'd be sitting in my truck because I had nowhere else to be drinking, and then I'd go to school the next morning, and after school I'd drink and go back to school, and that was my senior year. And I graduated and I got A's. I did everything right. Well, not everything, but yeah.
Have you reconciled with your parents? I mean, how's things going now that you're a little more stable, a little 4 years older?
Things have gotten a lot better. We had a huge disconnection. I started traveling around for a few years, And I hit up like all 48 of the main states, and I made it to the East Coast, just hitchhiking around. And my parents thought I was dead for almost an entire year. I didn't call them one time. So there's a huge disconnection from us. But we've been working on reconnecting. I'm in school now. I work for two local organizations, nonprofit organizations that are really amazing, that centralize on helping homelessness and mental health issue people, just getting help that they need, getting off the streets, getting reconnected with their families and all these different things. I'm doing all the things that I needed help with and helping people that were in the same situation as me. So my parents are seeing that I'm really trying, and they're proud of me now. They tell me that we still have a big disconnection. We can't really talk for very long without arguing, but things are getting a lot better.
You know, maybe it's a good point to stop or elaborate on, because we talked before we turned the mic on about get some really powerful words about socializing and how important that is to you and any person as an individual. Maybe if you could recreate that conversation.
I'm in a child development class, and I was learning a lot about how being or socializing is a huge part of our mental health, like being around people and actually like having things to do, having something to be proud of, things like that. Like, they're all very important things, and it's very difficult to get that for a lot of homeless and homeless youth, because there's this huge social disconnection, like withdrawal, like people look down on us and they just like think we're disgusting drug addicts most of the time. Or like, I've heard commercials saying don't feed the homeless, you're enabling them. And I know several homeless people that are working several jobs and they're still homeless because it's tough right now. I had a job for 5 months, and I was a student for a month before I finally started getting the housing program. And the only reason I'm even finally getting off the streets is because of amazing organizations that we have around here. And the longer you're on the streets, like the longer these people are on the streets, the more socially withdrawn they are, the harder it is to merge back into society. The longer you go without working, the harder it is to get back into working. The longer you go without going to school or studying, the harder it is to actually sit down and write something down on paper. And it's so difficult, and we're looked down upon and told to get a job. Meanwhile, we're trying. Like, I spent 9 months spending 8 hours a day dropping off resumes, going from place to place begging for a job, and I couldn't find one because I didn't have a residence, and I smelt bad, and I was unkept because I was homeless, and I'd been living in a field on the outskirts of town. And I lived in that field for 4 months just outside of town, because it's not safe sometimes to sleep downtown. Like, I've been victim of multiple assaults in our own park from drunk college kids walking around. They'd playing a game called Smash the Homeless Person. They just decided to stomp on us while we're sleeping, wrapped up in a sleeping bag. And there's 10 of them, and there's nothing you can do. You can't even run away. You're wrapped up. And it's tough. So I spent months of walking 15 miles a day just to get to school and work. And it's exhausting, and not very many people can do that, especially the longer you've been on the streets with drugs and alcohol and malnutrition and lack of sleep from being woken up constantly from either fights or cops telling us that we can't sleep here or somebody. It's a difficult thing for us to get off the streets.
I thought another cool thing about your story, man, you didn't tell me before that you did all 48 states. He's 22 years old, and he's been to twice as many states. I mean, you learn so much being on the road, but you had mentioned a little bit about how traveling cured your social anxiety. Maybe you could elaborate on that, Carrington.
Well, I grew up really kind of sheltered. I didn't, so I was very, had really high anxiety when it came to talking or socializing with people. Like, I couldn't even order my own food at a fast food restaurant. I wouldn't introduce myself to anybody. I didn't even make my first move to kiss a girl on the cheek until I was 18. I was very socially withdrawn. And traveling, though, like, I learned, like, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. Like, sometimes, or most of the time, when you're out on the streets and you don't have anything, the only thing that you can survive on is the compassion of other experiencing that compassion is one of the most beautiful things I felt on the streets, and it was encouraging to just start asking for things. I never felt comfortable for just like asking for things for nothing. So I picked up a guitar when I was 18. I started learning to play because I saw a lot of other people playing, and I felt maybe it wouldn't be so bad to just like, you know, play some music, entertain people. If they want to give me money or food or whatever, that would work. And so I did that, and it started working out a lot better, and I got a lot better at playing guitar, and I found out that I can sing. And so I just started, and I have a pretty loud voice when I sing, and I started singing all over the place. I've traveled all the states, completely surviving off of just singing and playing guitar in different areas. Sometimes I'd get a job at like a Pickles or something, like flying a sign, like those guys wearing a big foam suits. But most of the time, I just like make my living with that, and that completely just started getting me to open up and like not care what people looked at me. And when I started going into like new environments, and I was going into a new city every day, I didn't care what people thought of me, because I probably wasn't going to see them ever again in a few days. Just like helped me really like learn to open up to people. You know, one of the amazing things about the streets or traveling around is like I got to experience human compassion firsthand and the giving of others, but I also got to see how ugly people can be and how prejudiced a lot of people in this nation can be.
You got any travel stories that come to your mind that you'd like to share with us? Maybe put a smile on her face?
This one time I was traveling through Florida, and I wasn't in any particular town. I can't remember the highway. I think 82 or something. I can't remember. But we were going down, and it started raining. I was with my friend Bubba, and this guy is a very large guy. This guy was like 6'7". His arms were like a foot across, like just in girth. Like, very large guy. And I had this tiny little pop-up tent that looks like the little kid tunnels that they crawl through. That's like a foot in diameter, little pop-up things. And is this tent that stood a foot off the ground, and it's for one person just sleeping in the rain. And it was like all camo. And we ended up having to huddle up in this thing. Like, this thing was big. This thing was smaller than him. So when we got inside this tent, it looked like it was just like a wrapped up sheet tightly wrapped around two large guys just hugging each other. And this rainstorm happened for like a good 30 hours, and we were just holding each other like the whole time, shivering. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting little bonding experience.
Yeah, I've kind of got a visual of that. That's a bonding experience for sure. And you stayed dry, or at least as best you could. Sleeping in a tent when it's pouring, you don't stay completely dry.
No.
You try to stay damp instead of being wet.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
You know, how are things going for you now? I mean, I asked you that question as we were walking into the studio, and you had some beautiful responses to that.
Honestly, life is really going amazing. I'm going to school. I'm a full-time student now, so it's going great. I'm enjoying my class. I'm taking a child development class. It's amazing. And I have two amazing jobs. Like, and I get to help people every single day. And these jobs like provide me with information to where I can help people with services and provide them like with the help they need. I've been helping get so many different homeless youth in this town into like transitional housing, or just like aware of the resources where they can get fed. And it's been really gratifying, and I'm just like, after a long time of working really hard and seeing nothing, it's really wonderful finally seeing some fruits for my efforts. And so, yeah, everything's going really good. I'm currently working as a night staff. That's what got me in the housing. And soon I'm going to be getting my own place, and like in about a month. And at that point, like, I can't imagine my life being any better.
So you're not in the field on the outskirts of town anymore?
No, fine.
God bless you, man, because that was only a few weeks ago that you were on the outskirts of town.
Yeah, no, I got an amazing opportunity just over a week ago. Yeah, it's been really amazing. I'm working with amazing people, getting to help amazing people that have just gone through some tough parts of their life, and they're working on getting out of it just like I am, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that nonprofit, and that's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And Carrington's already committed on his own accord of maybe doing some backstories on these two separate entities that you work, so we can kind of shed a little light on the beauty that you're extending to our community members in Chico, California. What else should we know about Carrington? I mean, we've talked a little bit about your past and your present, and we haven't talked a little bit about your future. Maybe we should talk about your future, or what would you like to talk about or make us aware of that we haven't discussed, Carrington?
If you want to know my future, or what my plans are.
Yeah, let's hear them. I'm excited.
My goals have always been I want to be a science teacher for high school. Because high school age was the most difficult time of my life, like transitioning into an adult, and I feel like a lot of teachers don't prepare high school students for the expectations of adulthood, and so I've always wanted to do that. That's lately become kind of a side thing. I want to do that, but my biggest thing is I want to get a small piece of property, make a small semi self-sustaining farm, build a large house, and start a foster home. Traveling around, I've noticed so many of the homeless youth, most of them are foster kids, and it's because once they turn 18, they're just they're kicked on the streets, they got nothing to do, they don't know what's going on. It's tough, and I would like to, I myself can't help with this whole problem everywhere, but I want to do my part, and I'd like to have a really large foster home, maybe for mentally disabled children. Honestly, I just would like to help. Maybe keep working for nonprofit organizations, volunteer. If I make grow enough food, donate to these different organizations that feed the homeless youth and homeless. At some point, I want to take off a year or so and travel Europe, because I've kind of traveled all of America, but I kind of want to see the rest of the world for a little bit and then come back to do. Yeah, that's my general plan. That's what I'm working towards now.
If I was to ask you right now, Carrington, what 60 seconds, give us your soapbox on what you think we could do to improve the situation for youth here in Chico, what would that be?
Honestly, just acceptance. Stop withdrawing from them, stop looking down on them, and start accepting them as another human being that is beautiful and completely capable if you just give them a chance. And they're just somebody that's in a bad situation. Everybody makes mistakes and everybody falls down. And honestly, if we all just work together, this wouldn't even be a problem.
What would you say to this? It's my favorite mantra, a quote from an advocate that I've grown to respect dearly from afar. She's in the Bay Area, but she has a quote that says, next time someone tells you people are homeless by choice, simply ask them why only poor people make that choice. What could you add or say to that?
Yeah, oftentimes homelessness is a choice. Yeah, the thing about that is the choice is normally the lesser of two evils. The choices most people that choose to be homeless are presented with, for instances, the foster kids that choose to be homeless, they're in an abusive home or just neglectful, and everything, they hate their lives there and it's not worth it, and they find at least some acceptance with other homeless people on the streets, where they at least we care about our fellow homeless people. We love each other for the most part. And so, yeah, some people choose it. It's not a good alternative, but it's better. And a lot of people just are in abusive situations or horrible situations, or they're just so broke that they literally spend absolutely all their money on just the rent, and they have no food or anything. Some people don't make enough money to support anything but just $200 a month. And so, yeah, choosing to be homeless is a choice technically, but it's not really a choice because we're forced into that decision.
I'd just like to thank you for coming in, Carrington, and I think we're going to do this again. Maybe this will be the forward promo. I would love to record you singing with your guitar, dude, and we could air that on the same show. Do you have a guitar local?
Yeah, it's at my small little room right now.
So we're going to hear Carrington on guitar and vocals. Give me five. I like to do the five thing. I'm going to give a huge, huge, huge shout out to Pleasant Valley High School and all the teachers and staff at Butte County Office of Ed that have helped this gentleman and all the other nonprofits here in town. Amazing story, and a big shout out to you, Carrington. It's just a pleasure to have got to meet you and get to know more about you. So Eric, what would you like to elaborate on that wonderful 16 minutes with Carrington?
Wow. Well, I don't know. First of all, just Oh, wow. Thank you for having me come in to just listen to this. This guy, he just seems to be amazing. Like you were saying earlier, he's extremely honest. And it's true. Just one point that just pops out of my head was how being homeless is almost, it's almost its own community. And if there's people out there that ever never been homeless, you won't understand it until you actually have to be in that situation. And what he was saying was how, you know, most of us, we love each other, we respect each other, we take care of our own. It's true. It's very true. To the point that you'll see people on the street, you know, homeless, whatever, you know, the case. And if one of them needs something, it's almost like they all gather around to try and figure out a way to get that person what they need. And, you know, coming from, you know, a house, a car, you know, anything I could think of with my life, you know, a full-time job, even being married, to being homeless, I've noticed that there's more love on the streets than the love that I got from my own family most of the time. And it's crazy, and it's true. You can get more help from someone that is a complete stranger, not even a week prior, than people that, you know, have the same blood running through your veins. It's really, it's just, it blows my mind away. But a couple of the points, that living on the streets, how he was like saying that he was living in a truck, that's true. You know, pretty much the car is your, it's your storage unit, your sleeping bag, way to keep safe from, you know, the elements of outside world. It's just, he did it right. He did it right, and the fact that he's traveled all over the, you know, the United States, it's just amazing how young he actually is. Pretty cool guy.
Awesome, Eric. Thank you. Thank you for adding that color to it. And we're going to transition to a friend of mine that came through Chico three separate times, Arturo Morales, possibly certainly the oldest homeless person in California, if not the Northwest. And then we're going to end it. It's a beautiful interview I have with Marina Fox talking about foster care, a foster care program that I know that Carrington supports on campus called Paths. But you're listening to 90.1 FM People Powered Radio. Guillermo Mash here on the Without a Roof radio program, and it's my distinct pleasure to introduce someone that cold called me about, someone that I love dearly. His name is Arturo Morales, 96-year-old gentleman that was homeless several trips here through Chico, and Lisa's calling in from Washington State, and maybe you could just introduce yourself, Lisa, and tell us how things are going up there.
Sure, thank you. My name is Lisa Rasmussen. I am a court-appointed guardian ad litem, and what that is, when someone petitions the court in Washington State, the court sends out an independent contractor to evaluate whether that person truly needs a guardian or not, and at what the least restrictive capacity of taking someone's rights away. So I was appointed to Mr. Morales 10 days ago, in fact. And, you know, in that, what had happened with him is he'd come up here from, we think, California, hopefully from around the Chico area, and a bus driver had seen him sitting at a bus stop for a whole day and wasn't looking very well, and she took him over to a what's called our share house, which is a place where homeless people can go, and they help them find other alternatives, hook them up with services and things. And so they got him a hotel room for 3 days. They could see that he really needed some help. The next morning, the maid found him in his room, not able to really communicate or anything, and took him to the hospital. And so he had a huge abscess on his back that had gotten septic, which had caused his body to have great deal of infection and things. And so he was there for a month. And I'm really grateful that the bus driver on her own time saw the need and went over to help such a vulnerable adult. In that, the hospital Googled his name. And that's how they found you, Bill, is your website came up with his story. And that's how it all started.
I understand that somebody saw him like lying on the ground for multiple days.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's how the initial call came, correct?
Yep. Yeah. And she just couldn't stand it anymore. And when she kept asking him who he was and where he wanted to go, he kept saying, I want to go to Vancouver. Well, Portland and Vancouver are split by the Columbian River, and our bus service goes over to this huge shopping mall, and so they transport people back and forth. And that's how she discovered him, was on her route.
So let's get back to the timeline here for my good friend, Otolo. He was in the hospital for a month, and how long ago was he discharged?
Well, Friday. So now he's in a rehabilitation center. His wound is about, oh my gosh, 5 inches in circumference.
Wow.
And he had required surgery to get all of the infection and things out. So they have to pack it, and in that he's become weak, and so they're helping him learn how to get up on his own and navigate around. But in all of that, we've discovered that he has Alzheimer's. It's not bad for his age, but it is enough to where it leaves him really vulnerable. So he's been there since Friday. I saw him yesterday. I told him that we talked. And he said to tell my good friend hello. And I said, I will tell him that. So he does remember you very, very much.
It's very interesting you bring that up, because I've been fortunate to have known Mr. Morales summer of 2013. And when I saw him in 2014, I definitely saw a difference in his effect, in his ability to, you know, cognitive effect. Not to the right. point it was, you know, debilitating, but, you know, matter of fact, a lot of times you can kind of look and go, he's 96. But anyway, I had kind of seen him tipping down over the last, you know, couple of times he's come through Chico. One real quick thing that warms my heart, and maybe you could describe the program that you work for and, you know, what's going to happen for Mr. Morales, you know, long term. Are they going to be able to house him up in Washington, or what's going on?
Exactly. We will.
Yeah.
So, you know, he doesn't like that idea. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, he's not a happy camper about that. He keeps telling me he wants to get on a bus and go back to California. And the reality of it is that his mobility, his arthritis in his arm and in his leg from working all of his life and being out in the elements, he has no strength left. And so I evaluate if he needs a guardian and at what level he needs a guardian, and then I need to find a guardian. In every state, it's different. California, they're called conservatorship. And our state legislature dictates what a guardian can and cannot do. And our guardian cannot make you take medication of any type, especially psychotropic medications. The bad fall on that is people with dementia, Alzheimer's, those medications are considered psychotropic. They cannot put you in a mental health institution against your will. They have to ensure that you get to live in a place that is comfortable for you. Now, in his instance, he wants to be on the street again, and that's just not safe anymore. And so I've already started looking for an adult family home that majority of the residents are Hispanic and that the caregivers speak Spanish, because that's really important to him.
Oh, it's way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that will really enhance his life. And so while in Vancouver, we don't have a lot of them. We have over 400 adult family homes. There are a few, and they're going to come and meet with him. And but he's eating. He tries. He doesn't like to take medication, and this is what he tells us. Put me outside in the sunlight. The sunlight will make it all go away, and it'll heal me, he says. And I understand that. I do. But that's not the reality of it. And he is an amazing physical health, considering all he needs is medication for pain to help with this wound healing. He does have a prostate problem, and for a man his age, that's not unusual. And so he gets the medication for that. But he's convinced that the sun's what's going to heal him, not any pill. Oh,
yeah,
he's
very spiritual that way. I mean, I had a lot of conversations with him around. His eyes are all lit up like a little boy. He's talking about the beauty of God's earth and being under the sun and the stars and being out, you know, and about. But I think what's really key for him, he's a very social, everyone's social to an extent, but Arturo loves talking with people. He loves the attention. He loves to reach out. I mean, this isn't a gregarious type situation where he's just running around hugging people, but you can see it when people connect to him, or gosh, when people speak Spanish to him, his whole body changes. You know,
just, oh, yeah.
I've actually been fortunate to have been involved in a few of those conversations myself, although I don't speak Spanish other than going by my Spanish name, Guillermo.
So, well, you know, it was nice is that the position that he had in the hospital spoke back. He felt more trust in him. We did have people, while they might have not always been Catholic, we did have a chaplain come and see him every day. And that meant a lot to him. They do have those services at the facility that he's at.
A Spanish speaking chaplain?
Yeah.
Oh, man, he was in heaven there. God bless you, Arturo.
And, you know, because there's a parish that's right there, it's a small community where he is right now, and so luckily that's what this parish has, and so he comes up to the facility, and I just think it's awesome.
The thing that warms my heart that he got to where he needs to be, and you know, he's been doing this, he's been wandering now for decades, and he does a good job at kind of figuring out where he needs to be. But the last time I saw him in Chico, it was heartwarming to me, because he said he had to leave Chico because no one would take him in. He says he wants a garage, and he said,
yeah,
many times, he said, you are the only one, my friend, that has taken me into your home, that I've been here the entire time. And he's like,
like, I know this is the only place I go, Chico, that does not bring me into my into my home. He was very upset with that because he was connected with a lot of people, but for whatever reason, you know, they just left him out in the park.
Well, and you know, the thing that always amazes me about him is, you know, yesterday he and I were talking, and the social worker was in with him, and she speaks Spanish, and we were talking, you know, he wanted out, you know, put me outside, and he always says, I'm a good man. You know, I don't steal from people. I don't harm anybody. And he has said that over and over again in several conversations. And so it automatically puts you in his spot that people view homeless as criminals or mental health, but they're going to harm you. And that's not the case. But it's very important for you to know from him, he's a good man. He will not hurt you.
Yeah, but the only thing I'd like to see in Otolo change, and he's 96, is probably not. He's what I tell people, he is a serial litterer. He doesn't do well with wrappings. I mean, he just literally drops things on the ground. But
yeah.
You know, other than that, I guess what I'm laughing about, because I'm like this huge leave no trace kind of person. You know, I've actually had conversations with him about, you know, making his area a little bit cleaner. But other than that, he's just a beautiful human being. So what's going to happen to him over the next few weeks? I just want to make sure I understand he's in this care facility, getting back on his feet, and then you're going to get him a guardianship and a group home.
He'll be in this facility until that wound gets to where they don't have to pack it every day. And then from there, he'll go to an adult family home. And then that's where he'll live. The unfortunate part is you know, he needs assistance to get up. And he cannot navigate his walker. I don't know if you remember his walker was blue with the wheels on it.
Oh, yeah.
But it gets away from him too fast. And so he can't, you know, while he's used it forever, he can't use the hand grips to stop the wheels. And so we're trying to get him to entertain the idea of using a different type of walker. That's been the hardest conversation. But it'll get better. You know, and I will tell you, you were instrumental. And everyone was amazed that I have talked to with the Department of Health Services here, the hospital, and other people, and that you had gotten enough information from him that we could confirm that was his Social Security number so we could get services for him. Now...
Yay!
Yeah, the bad part is that we're having. I had to send away to Puerto Rico to get a birth certificate from him. In actuality, it looks like that he was born in
1918.
He is 97. Yep.
God bless Arturo Morales.
You know, it's amazing, and everybody that meets him is just endeared by him. And I have to tell you, you know, and the listeners, your website and the blogs that you put up about him and the videos. It allowed me to send it to other people in the farming communities here so that they could see if we could find if he has family. I found out through all of that, you have a video where you took him to a shelter.
Yeah.
And I was able to get that person, the manager, to tell me, oh, yeah, they remembered him. I sent a picture.
Yeah,
and they could tell me that he was at the hospital in Chico. And so now they're trying to help and find some more information out. He says that he has children, but when you ask him about his parents, all he'll say is he has a mother. He came when he was 16. When you ask him about his father, it is not a good, he shuts down. So, and he says he has kids, but he hasn't seen them for many, many years. But one thing I did learn about him, I bet you don't know, is that he worked in a copper mine and in a meatpacking plant in Montana.
There you go. Live here on KZFR.
Yeah, way back in the 50s.
Well, he always presented as a farm worker, and that's why he come back to Chico. Some of the most beautiful stories. He told me this story, right? He's sitting in Children's Park. Oh, my friend, this has changed so much. And I can tell by the way he's describing it, he liked it better. There used to be orchards here, and I was right on the town. He said, I love coming back to Chico. It reminds me of when I was working on the farms. He's so cute. He's such a cute guy.
Oh, you know, and he says, I need to go pick apples. And I said, sweetheart, that's not going to happen. You know, you can't even you can't lift your arm. You're not well enough. When I'm well enough, buy me a bus ticket and send me to Kids of Apples. And I'm like, yep, well, we'll talk about
that. Yeah, that's exactly how he is. He wants to get back out. You know, he's kind of going backwards. Kind of, he remembers those times of being in the fields, and he really, really wants to reach out and try to do it again. But just to put a little more color on Mr. Arturo's situation here in Chico, you know, I had people say to me, you know, actually in a meeting session of someone that's actually involved with one of the programs here, she said, you know, Arturo keeps coming back because we feed him. You know, and I had some very polite but pointed words to say to that person. I kind of said, you know what? And we're going to keep feeding them. You know, I actually had other people look at me, their eyes actually, someone actually, I lost a lot of respect, a leader in this community. Her eyes is kind of beaded in. Why doesn't he stay at the shelter? And yeah, I just looked at her, and there was so much, I don't understand people like that, Lisa. You know, how they could just dismiss a 96-year-old guy that's lying on the ground in a children's park. But that's one thing I like to try to do with my blog, is just to kind of point out the fact that there's so much beauty with these people. This is the strongest man on this is Atlas at 96. Everyone kind of puts people down. There ain't many people that could be Mr. Arturo, you know, traveling around with his walker. You know, maybe one other fun story. The first time we got him a bus pass, he wanted to go up to Reno to try to connect with his son. So I think he's got this memories, and he's trying to see if he can go back and connect with his son. But we bring him down to the Greyhound down here. And I'll never forget this look on this guy's face. I hand him the ticket, and he looks me square in the eyes, and he goes, "Is this guy okay to travel alone?" And I said, "Oh, you're laughing." I said, Yeah, this guy is really capable of traveling. You know. Just God bless you, Arturo. I'd love to talk to him. You know, maybe we can do that.
I will set that up. Well, I'm leaving out of town for a conference, and when I get back next week, I'll take my phone with me, and we'll set up a time where you can talk to him. And you know, he still has his laugh. That one video of you with him talking about the hat and you giving him the hat and that laugh that he has, and he still laughs. But I'll tell you right now, I don't know if you knew he was such an avid sports fan, and he is glued to baseball right now.
I love baseball. Said,
I played baseball, you know, I used to play baseball, and he talks about that and playing when he was a kid and stuff. And so he is a great guy. He will have a very good life here. You know, if you're ever up this way, you have to come and see him. He would just absolutely love that. Our homeless situation up here, like yours down there, is inadequate. It just breaks your heart. And, you know, but the services, I'm from California. In fact, I went to high school in Yuba City. So I know the area very, very well. And, you know, when I go back to California to see family, and I hear about services down there, is I wish California would beef it up a little bit. I wish every community would, whatever we can do. But God bless you for what you do. You didn't have to return my phone call, you know. And the Justice Center that you have there, that's how I found you. Mm-hmm. You know, I called the Justice Center, and they said, "Oh, yeah, we know who he is, and here's his phone number." And they didn't have to do that, so I appreciate all you do for your community and what you did to help our girls.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I would add to that is, you know, we really need to start as a community raising our arms and to the sky, saying without enough, we need more housing. We need places to be for people to be safe and warm and dry, instead of writing them camping tickets and then putting them into a jail cell. So. Here I am with my friend Arturo, who has his new Uber Duber walker here. Has an uplifting little bench, brakes.
Can't sit down any place I want to with it.
You can sit down any place you want to with this.
Yeah, you know.
So what do you think of this? You like this?
Taking in the Greyhound too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's the simple things in life, isn't it? I'm perfect. One more time.
I'm perfect.
God bless you, Arturo Morales. You know, just to hear him, that voice on the radio. You can actually find an extended interview. There's an interview that goes about about 3 minutes longer up on my blog. My homepage is physically WOAROOF.TUMBLR.com. It's a Tumblr site. Or you can literally just Google Without a Roof. It comes right to the top of the search string, and I'm in Facebook as well. But I'd like to turn this over to Eric here. This Eric is about 70 years younger than this man is. It's amazing to think about that. What do you think about all that, Eric?
Oh, man. Wow. Just our... Wow. Wow. This guy lost his home and decided to travel the States, apparently. And coming from a farm worker to just choosing to be homeless, it just shows that there's different backgrounds with different stories, no matter the person. You know, each individual has a different just awesome energy around them. He just learned to enjoy it, so he kept doing it. I thought it was pretty cool that, you know, our situations, you know, can differ coming from the guy that we just talked about to him. You know, some of them are heartbreaking, but some of them are also very heartfelt stories. I thought it was pretty cool that, you know, and also at the end of the segment on this part, you guys were talking about how you wish California would step it up. I completely agree. Get more involved. I don't have to be on here today. I definitely don't have to be talking about this at all, but I choose to because I want to, because I want to be involved. And that's all it takes. It takes just one more person to step up and one more person to reach their hand out and one less person to put their head down when they're walking by these homeless people on the streets.
Thanks, Eric. Next up, Marina Fox from PASS program, Chico State University, right here on the Without a Roof program, KZFR 90.1 FM. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce Marina Fox. She's a CSU student, Chico State University student, that's involved with PASS Scholars for Foster Kids. It's a brand new program that's on campus at Chico State University, and Marina's going to introduce herself real quick and give us a framework of what that program's all about.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. Just a correction. So I'm not a student. I was a student last academic year. I just graduated with my MSW.
Awesome.
That was May. Feels like an eternity ago already. but I was hired here at Chico State in January of 2014 because Chico State was involved in a partnership grant with Shasta College and Butte College. And the grant comes from the Walter S. Johnson Foundation, and they've given us money to start up a program at each of the colleges to really support foster care alumni in reaching their academic goals. And so we're really excited to be part of this, even though the grant, I believe it began in 2012, there was an implementation grant, and then Chico State and Shasta and Butte College got the final grant in 2013. And so it took some time, as it always happens, to hire someone. I was hired in January of 2014 and really just jumped in and started the launch of the program. And I would say it really got started, you know, mid-semester during that spring 2014 semester, and started meeting with students. And I'm a big believer in student voice and getting their input about what the program should look like and what kinds of services they need to really support them and their success here at Chico State. And so I was meeting with students, building those relationships with the campus partners, you know, different departments, housing, financial aid, and all of those departments. And really just kicked off, and we've really expanded, and really, we're really thriving and growing at this point. And, you know, this is our second full academic year of having a program, so it's pretty exciting.
It is. I mean, it's so cool. I mean, I thought it was so new. I thought it was brand new. I've been telling people it's like 2 or 3 weeks old because I just saw your Facebook page. Is your Facebook page fairly new, or
that's the Facebook page has been around maybe, I would say, less than a year.
Wow.
Close to a year.
Well, anyway, it's so nice to make this connection. And I guess a year is new, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
New to me.
Yeah.
Now, maybe for listeners that aren't as aware of some of the challenges for foster youth in an academic environment, maybe you could kind of explain that and how many youth that you're helping and what kind of services you provide.
In an academic setting, students really struggle with some of those basic independent living skills, some emotional stressors that, you know, I would say a traditional student has a parent to rely on to kind of process through some of those emotions of, you know, being homesick or feeling overwhelmed or scared. You know, it's a whole new transition for these students. And, you know, especially foster youth that have transitioned out of the system at age 18, they don't have that support. They have very little to no family support or, you know, positive adult role models in their lives. Many times they have, you know, an independent living program case manager or a county social worker or maybe a teacher or a counselor that they really connected with. But for the most part, you know, they don't have that that stable adult in their life. And so they're really left with kind of muddling through the whole process of applying to college and transitioning over. Once they're here, they feel, you know, like they're just, what's the saying, a fish out of water. You know, they really struggle. And so this program has been designed to, you know, give them one contact person. So if they meet that eligibility of being a former foster youth, they can connect with me and get involved in this program. And it's a lot of case management, really helping them through the process, helping them to problem solve, look for different resources on campus that they might need. You know, this really has been proven to increase access to college, retention, and graduation rate for this population. So, again, just an amazing program to be a part of and to support these groups of students. They usually will drop out if they've made it to college. Many times they drop out. The statistics are quite alarming. It's about 3-5% of former foster youth who graduate with a four-year degree by the age of 26, as compared to, I believe it's about 24% of the general population.
Wow.
So very small portion will graduate with a four-year degree. Now, those are national statistics. What I've heard, you know, I don't have any references for this, but I was talking to a student who did his own research. He was actually a BSW, Bachelor's Social Work level, and he did some research and found that in California, I believe that it was 0.1% graduate with a four-year degree, which actually sounds about right and comparable to Chico State. Right now, we're only able to work with students who self-identify as a former foster youth. So those are the only students we're reaching. I'm sure there are more, but oftentimes students won't disclose that.
Right.
And so at this point in this semester, we're about close to 200 students that have self-identified. And so it's definitely a challenge.
Yeah, I did some work with the BCOE, Buchanan Arts Ed School Ties Program. And
yeah, yeah.
And the date is 2 years old. I need to follow back with Megan, the program manager over there. But anyway, back in 2013, it was 950 youth that experienced homelessness throughout the year. And then there was 450 kids in Butte County schools that were in foster care. It's just a tremendous amount of youth that are at risk, in risk.
Yeah.
That are in our school systems that I've really been trying to make a push to make people aware of them. Of what the issues are. Now, you'd mentioned, Marina, when you started out this program, you reached out to housing and different areas of social work. You know, what is the issues? I mean, do you actually have youth that are, you know, in situations where they're couch surfing, they need a place to stay? Are you helping them find housing or, you know?
Absolutely.
Wow.
It hasn't happened in abundance, thankfully. It's a little uncommon, but we have had instances where, you know, for example, this past summer, I had a student who, she was a first-time freshman. She had just completed her freshman year here at Chico State. During the summer, she had to take a math class, and so she was taking it through Butte College. You know, after a year of being away from home, I'm doing air quotes, she, I think, started to realize really how unhealthy and unstable her home environment was. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't want to go back into that space. She applied for a job with housing here on campus. So she got the job. So they covered her wages. She was able to earn wages, but they also included room and board as her compensation package.
Oh, awesome.
So she was able to stay on campus, you know, because normally the dorms on campus are closed, but because they do other like summer conferences and things like that, she was able to get a job with them. She was working, she was earning money, she was able to attend her summer class. And then she had a place to stay. Otherwise, you know, she probably would have had to have couch surfed and tried to stay around at different places and, you know, cost for different living situations. So, again, I think that It does happen, but everyone here at Chico State has been incredibly supportive and really wants to accommodate and be flexible and really try to, you know, figure out a situation so that these students can be stable and have the ability to focus on academics.
Right, without having to worry about, you know, where they're going to lay their head at night and whether it's going to be a safe space, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, and where their next meal is coming from. It's, it's awful hard because I hear that situation an awful lot, just in different little subsettings in regards to youth or even older folks that are making good decisions of, you know, basically, I'll go sleep anywhere but go back into this abusive relationship or abusive home. It's really a scary situation. It's just wonderful that they have the opportunity to have the resources that you and your team have put together, Marina.
Absolutely.
When I say team, I mean how many folks actually work or volunteer in this program? 200 students is a pretty large program.
It's a good amount of students, yes. And I'm the only professional staff in this program, and I'm really doing all of it, you know, developing the program, meeting with students, meeting with campus partners, meeting with community partners, doing outreach. I'm kind of going a little crazy. But these students, you know, really inspire me and they keep me motivated. And so I keep going. I was able to hire, because as I mentioned, we are grant funded and we do have some money available right now. I was able to hire two of the past scholar students. I hired them during the summer and they were working full time during the summer. And helped me with a lot of, you know, programming, and we actually just put out our first newsletter. Things like that, helping me with the welcome reception that we had a couple of weeks ago. The students have been amazing with giving me that support and relief and, you know, even sort of giving support to other students and really taking a leadership role with their peers.
I'm amazed. It's Marina and team, and it's mostly you, which is, like, amazing. You know, I'm really excited, actually, to kind of help promote the PASS program and get involved with this Runaway Prevention and Homeless Youth Awareness Program in November. And thank you for reaching out and say you would sponsor that process that we're putting together. And I look forward to working with you on that. There's another gentleman, I'm calling him the Box City Guy. There's this thing that's been done in several other communities and colleges where they put together boxes that youth at risk, in risk youth, physically put their stories and some of the stereotypes on, and people can come by and see it as kind of like a demonstration, like an art piece.
Uh-huh.
He's actually a student, I believe. And he's in some of the student clubs there, but I'm hoping to connect up with him as we get closer to finalizing this stuff.
Yeah, it was quite timely that you had presented this opportunity, because I have had a couple of students who have been really wanting to do something. One of the students recently mentioned there's a week in November that's like National Adoption Week or something like that, National Adoption Awareness. And so one of the things I wanted to also mention with PASS scholars, different universities have different levels of their guardian scholars programs for former foster youth. Every program has different eligibility criteria. For PASS scholars, we're actually working with any student who spent even one day in the foster care system. And so when they apply to Chico State, if they were a current or former foster youth, if they were in guardianship, if they were placed with a relative, you know, youth that were at one time in foster care or guardianship and then were adopted, all of those situations would qualify for PASS scholars. We also actually serve homeless and accompanied youth, because my feeling was that a lot of these students could be in the foster care system, but for whatever reason, they chose not to. What I experienced was that a lot of the students, you know, perhaps were abandoned or just separated from the parents, mostly from the parents' choice. And they, you know, were left at 16 or 17. Why bother going into the foster care system? They were staying with a friend or a neighbor, friend's parent, something like that. And so those students, they've been really increasing in my awareness, I think, because we've been spreading the word that we serve all of those student groups. More students are coming forward and saying, hey, that was me, you know. And so we're getting a real great variety of kind of diverse students in this program.
And that's wonderful you can do that level of outreach, because you know, I'd work with foster agencies here, like Mountain Circle Family Services, and she'd actually made Tony Zimmer's the coordinator there, and she kind of made that comment in one of the interviews I did. She really feels worse for folks that aren't in foster care because their opportunities for grant money and assistance is less.
Exactly.
And it really is. It really is a kind of a snafu in the process. So anything you'd want us to kind of end on here, Marina? Something we haven't discussed, or maybe a soapbox for 30 seconds about your program? Or
Well, I think that kind of the final outcome that we're really looking for is increasing the graduation rates of this population. And even in the short time that I've been here, and I don't know if it really has anything to do with me or the program, but it is very exciting that last year, which was our first full academic year, we had one student graduate from our program. And then this spring, we're actually up to like 8 or 9 students that are graduating.
Awesome.
Which is, yeah, I mean, it's just astonishing and in such a good way, and we're really excited. So, yeah, we hope to get some county and state and community support. As I mentioned, we are grant funded, but we will be having to do some fundraising here pretty soon. And so I hope that people will continue to support our program.
Thanks so much for calling in, and can't wait to get this out. We're going to air this on Thursday.
Excellent.
Yeah, on our Without a Roof monthly program. So
great.
Thanks again, and have the best of days, and enjoy your evening off. Don't work too hard.
Thank you so much.
Alrighty, take care, Marina.
All right, big, big shout out to CSU and Marina Fox. She's doing a wonderful job over there. She had so much passion around this program. I can say that Beetle Nation's in the house, and they get by with a little help from their friends, because there's three young ladies here getting to come up on the board and play some Beetle music for you. I want to turn it over just for like 30 seconds. Eric Jacobs is going to do a little forward promo about Safe Space. It's just coming up here in Chico, California in about 2 months' time. Take it away, Eric.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. So, a lot of people were talking about how can we fix this issue, this problem. It's definitely, you know, get more involved. We're looking for volunteers. You know, if you really want to help, it's in a show. It's just the actions alone. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a monitor for the night watch, you know, helping with food and stuff like that. But we definitely need as many hands as possible. Either way, it's going to be done. But right now we have 11 weeks covered of these churches that are donating their space to take care of these people during the cold, you know, the winter and all that. So the name is Safe Space, and it's with the Peace and Justice Center, and it's providing consistency, and that's what we need.
All right, Eric Jacobs, you're going to be a real treat. This is the first recording ever promoted here live for Carrington Forbes, live on KZFR 90.1 FM. All right, man, I'm pleased to have Carrington doing his thing, man. House of the Rising Sun with his little twist on it. On KZFR 90.1 FM.
Thank you. what I have done. Spend your life sentencing at misery in the house of the rising sun. I've got one foot on the platform and another on the train. I'm going back home to New Orleans to